This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. It's a Thursday in Pittsburgh. That means the Steelers are 2 days into their practice schedule as they get ready to play the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field on Sunday. Matt, obviously the big topic of discussion, beyond the quarterback getting benched, which isn't going to happen, folks, sure. As we talked about with Bob Labriola yesterday, has been the offensive line play.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it becomes a chicken or the egg
right.
kind of thing.
Everyone wants to place blame in one spot, and that's right. not the way this really works. But, you know.
So Merrill Hodge earlier this week, of course, a former Steelers running back and analyst for ESPN.
Yeah.
Still breaks down film.
Oh, yeah. He joins Mike and I every Thursday night for a segment. It's good stuff.
He said on the DVE morning show earlier this week, he's talking about the offensive line. When you watch them up front, there are a couple things that are consistent. They got away with it in week one at Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
They did it last week, which has got to be frustrating. They went back to a lot of man-blocking schemes, which is something that
it seems
about.
To be a logical move.
Yeah.
Right.
Their pad level is so high that they get no movement. They're blocking with their chest, and they're doing a dance at the line of scrimmage. You can't run the ball like that. When you've got two guys on one, they get no movement, and then they don't come off and block another guy.
Yeah.
He said, and then about 30% of the time, they miss an assignment, so they have somebody unaccounted for. Those things can be corrected, but until the job gets done, your quarterback is irrelevant. Your wide receivers are irrelevant. Your running backs are irrelevant.
That's some strong points, obviously. Correctable things, though.
Correctable things.
Know, right.
That's, to me, but it is a problem. Like, one thing you always hear coaches talk about is, you know, when they talk about a young player, well, I really like him. He doesn't make the same mistake twice.
Yeah, that's big. The coaches hate the same mistake twice.
If you're making the same mistake over and over mm-hmm. and over again,
you can't put you out there anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter how talented you are, I mean, coaching putting a player on the field is all about trust, you know, and that's why young guys takes a little while to earn that trust. And if you keep making the same mistakes, eventually the coach kind of runs out of options, you know, like
right.
I can only tell you so many times, so many ways, and that doesn't mean you're a bad coach or, I mean, everyone's to blame in this situation.
Hodge also talked this morning on Sirius NFL and, you know, everybody, I wrote about this on DK Pittsburgh Sports about what Hodge had to say. And the immediate reaction is, well, it's got to be the coaching.
I figured that would be what you get back.
And Hodge said, look, the coaches aren't coaching them to go out there and miss assignments.
Right.
They're not coaching them to go out there and try to block this way. This is what they're kind of they're going into default mode when things start happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are moving their, you know, at the last second, okay, we're going to shift a line on you, and you're not going to pick up this stunt. That's what teams do. The Steelers have done that forever lines.
Exactly.
That's what happens.
Communication's absolutely massive with offensive lines. Continuity is absolutely massive. You know, talk to Wolf or any of these guys that have done it with a lot of the same dudes year after year. It's absolutely invaluable. It's something near the end that might be one of the best things the Steelers line had going for it, was
right.
they all understood one another, you know, limitations.
That was the other side of the coin. Like, if you look at the line last year, okay, so they weren't making the mistakes. You know, if somebody ran a stunt on them, they knew who to pick up and all that kind of stuff, because they had done it all before.
Exactly. At least you had that part of it.
Yeah.
Right.
But they weren't going to get any better.
No. It was time to get younger there,
yeah.
and at least.
So now you've got these young guys in there. So you got the other, it's a question of, okay, are they talented enough, or is this something that they're going to grow through?
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes the question: can you live through this while they're growing through? You know, I actually asked Matt.
And a lot of times, a lot of lines are going through this in the league right now,
yeah.
too. You know, I mean, just the growing pain part.
I asked Matt Canada today. I knew I was writing this story about.
Yeah,
this,
yeah, yeah.
And I said, you know, you had to expect this to be
a work in progress when it started.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, getting four new starters on your offensive line. You got four young guys on your offensive line. You had to expect there to be some growing pains here, but did you expect it to be to this level?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I didn't. But I'm a glass half full guy. I thought we were going to be great the whole time. We're not happy with where we are. You can look at what you want. It hasn't been what we've wanted. It has to be better, and there has to be a sense of urgency to get better.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's fair. The thing we can't comment on, even with you being in the facility a lot, is we don't know how they're being coached. And, you know, they're not coached to keep their pads high and screw up assignments. Right. I know that.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe
they
take another
approach. Every offensive line coach in the league, there's not an offensive line coach in the league who tells guys, hey, we're going to come out, we're going to do the exact opposite of what everybody's expecting us to do.
Of course.
We're going to come in high.
Right. But there's better offensive line coaches than others, too, just like every walk of life. I don't know if Clem's great or not. I mean, it's way too early to say that.
I can guarantee that he's not coaching them to blow assignments.
Or play with high pads or not go to the second guy on a double team and things like that. So let's kind of break down each one of those things that Merrill mentioned, because if 30% of the time, give or take, 20, 40, whatever, you know, one out of four plays, whatever, somebody's screwing up, I think he means from a mental perspective,
right,
like not doing their job.
Somebody didn't pick up, you know, the you know, again, you end up with two guys blocking one guy and a guy coming free.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because they went to the wrong guy.
To me, that screams experience.
Yeah.
You know, that just is lack of recognition. You know, like when you write a scouting report on a college lineman, recognition and awareness, things like that, that you think of quarterbacks are key categories, you
right.
know. So that doesn't mean that won't come. My hunch is, and I'm not just being an optimist to make all Steeler fans happy here, I would think the mistakes and communication has nowhere to go but up.
Yes.
You know.
That's something that will get better.
That
with
will
time.
Get better. I mean, you play next to the same dude over and over, that's going to get better. You're going to see, also the speed of the game has something to do with it, too. Like,
right.
I used to have more time to pick up a stunt. That guy's on me now. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
These guys are all athletes and are coming after me. So that stuff gets better. The pad level one kind of stood out to me, though, you know, because this isn't a secret, but we've heard it a lot this last week or so. Everyone on this line is not a first or second round pick. So, you know, with that, with knowing that, my thoughts on the pad level thing were maybe this isn't a great group of benders, athletes that get drafted higher. You know what I mean? They're the average athletic group across the board without great benders that go in the top 10 picks because those guys are rare. You know what I mean? And I also thought about the pad level thing, and you see it on tape. I mean, you see it in games, too. It's not great. They're also playing too many snaps. You know, like, you run 77 snaps, and those linemen play every one of them, your pads are going to start coming up. You know what I mean?
How much of that could also be the fact, if you are unsure of what you're supposed to, like,
mm-hmm.
if you're thinking too much on the field instead of just reacting,
mm-hmm.
you're first in, you know, okay, oh, I got to reach over here to get this guy, and your pads come up.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of it's just technique in general as well, too, which that part will get better, technique and knowing, you know, how long I got to hold this block or, you know, what it takes to drive a defensive lineman off the ball at this level as opposed to at A&M or Illinois.
Yeah,
I got away
with this.
Against
what's the matter, you?
Four or five-star recruit against, you know, I mean, I'm a better athlete. And then the other one was the double team thing, which I also think probably gets better.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just experience too. That, you know, I can't stick here forever on this double team. I got to go get the linebacker.
But I did find it interesting that Canada, you know, said, "Look, it hasn't been what we wanted. It has to get better, and there's a sense of urgency to get better." How do you create urgency if you're a coaching staff? Well, maybe you start challenging some guys with their jobs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
I was thinking that too.
It's, you know,
well, if through three games or four coming up, this isn't getting better. Well, there's some people at least in the building that might do it better than you.
If you are going to keep making the same mistakes over and over again,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to be on the field. We're going to try this other guy, and if he doesn't make the mistakes, then he'll be on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know Dotson, but he was in the doghouse apparently a little this offseason. Is he taking things for granted over, you know, things like that? Or is Trey Turner looking at it like, I'm fine, nobody's going to bench me, I'm the vet here? Or does Green think, and what's his face, the left tackle thing, more.
Yeah, more, yeah.
That, hey, you know, this league's easy. They give me a starting job as soon as I get out. You know,
yeah,
like,
right.
I mean, I just don't know what their frames of mind are, you know.
Well, they get, you know, you're starting, Zach Banner's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll see him maybe not this week, maybe next week. We'll see.
Yeah,
you
we
know,
don't
how long
Thursday
it takes
here.
For them to activate him. But once that happens, now you have options at tackle.
Mm-hmm.
You already,
and even Joe Haig, I thought, played okay
in
a short amount of time.
But you don't want him to play, because if he plays 40% of the snaps, they lose that fifth-round draft pick next year.
Yeah, that too. Right.
So, you
and
know,
he's kind of your first guy off the bench for other
right.
things too.
Yeah.
You know, right.
But, you know, so you now you could, now the option is there that if they want, when Banner's back, we could take and plug Banner in at right tackle. You put Chooks at left tackle,
mm-hmm.
which is what your original plan was to begin with.
Yes.
And you say to the kid, you're going to sit and watch.
Mm-hmm. Or Chooks, you're going to sit and watch.
Or Chooks is going to sit and watch.
Right.
Or, you know, again, you mentioned, you know, maybe they make a move on the interior. You got B.J. Finney sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
You got J.C. Hasenauer sitting there. Maybe you just say, hey, guess what?
I think Finney and Haas don't have the ceiling.
Right.
But no one's caring about the ceiling at the
it's
moment.
It's about the floor right now.
Yeah,
because the
floor is
pretty
low.
Yeah.
The floor is too low. And just, you know, Merrill and Canada's comments makes me think they didn't think the floor would be this low. You know, like, everyone knows it's going to be a work in progress.
I think everybody, you know, I know that's how I feel about this. I thought that the pass blocking early in the season would be the issue.
Mm-hmm.
You knew that was going to be a problem. Teams are going to throw a bunch of stuff at them.
Without question.
And because that's what you do against young offensive lines. The run blocking, to me,
mm-hmm.
I thought would be there.
I thought
and
they'd move
not.
Bodies at least.
Yeah.
Come off the ball and move bodies. And,
right.
You know, even with a little bit of nastiness and some finish and things like that. And confidence goes a long way. You know, I mean, they're reading these clippings, and they know the city's not happy with them collectively. And
they all talked about it before the season started. Oh, we got a chip on our shoulder because nobody
sure.
thinks we can do this. Well.
Yeah. And, again, I'm speaking like I know these people or hang out in their offensive line meeting rooms or locker room, but they can't be as tight and knitted a bunch as the other, you know, as the unit was before.
Right.
That grew up together, and, you know, year after year after year. DeCastro is hanging his head one day, and Pounce says, come on, those type of things, the camaraderie. That's
those guys
coming.
Still have a text chain between those five or six guys that were here.
Ramon and Villanueva,
yeah.
And those guys, okay.
Where they all communicate, and guess what they talk about?
Yeah.
The state of this offensive line. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
What's happened
since we left.
Yeah, hey, look, this is, you know, they're not upholding the standards.
Yeah, yeah.
Some other things that Hodge said. He says you can't place the blame on Ben Roethlisberger here.
Okay.
He says when you look at the passing game, you can tell they're just a shade off in some areas, especially the vertical passing game. Sometimes it's the wide receiver running the wrong route. Ben might overthrow them a little bit or underthrow them. But I'm telling you, when you don't trust anything, when you walk to the line of scrimmage, and you're not sure if the guys up front are going to get the job done, that plays into everything, whether it's
sure.
run or pass. He said that the only two lines right now that he would say are worse than the Steelers, playing worse right now than
mm-hmm.
the Steelers, are the Jets and Jaguars.
Okay.
He said,
I mean,
so
there's
people,
some other guys throw out there. I mean, the Bears come to mind.
Yeah.
And, you know,
he said if you throw a rookie out there, I guarantee you you're 0-3 with the Steelers' offensive line right now.
Yeah, I certainly am on board with that.
And the score is probably worse than they have been. Ben has kept them in some games and made some throws. They're all struggling. There's not a guy out there who is rock solid.
I agree with 85% of that. Yeah, I mean, I really do. I would place more blame on Ben than Merrill did in that comment. But
I don't know how you can, like, I see the same thing. I see a quarterback out there who doesn't trust his line.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's getting rid of the ball maybe before he should.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I'm going to get hit again. I've been hit 16. You know, he got hit 10 times in the game against the Raiders. Like,
yeah.
That's too much.
He's been getting hit a lot.
Yeah, it's too much.
Without question. I mean, even the times he's not getting sacked, he's getting hit a lot. I don't think he's throwing the ball particularly well, though. You know, I mean,
right.
you know.
But if you don't trust, like, I see him in practice.
Yeah.
And he makes all the throws.
Yeah,
because he knows he's
times.
Not going to get hit.
Right.
If I step up to the line of scrimmage and go, I'm going to, well, boy, we get this 15-yard out called here, and I'm probably going to get smacked.
I'm going to get smacked on this
So
one.
You're probably going to maybe not throw it the way you would if he could step into it and make a good
mm-hmm.
throw.
No, I mean, I understand all that. I mean, I'm not bashing Roethlisberger. I'm just seeing other quarterbacks elevate some really suspect lines,
but
including the one in Green Bay.
to expect your 39-year-old quarterback to elevate the team at this point, that's not...
They knew that going in, too.
It's the exact opposite. Right. Like, you create the nest for a young quarterback when he's in his first 3 years or so. You should also create the nest for your old quarterback and don't expect him to be Superman.
Right, right, right. I mean, the Elway, Terrell Davis conversation, you know.
And Najee Harris.
Right, right, right. They recognized that. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't even a slam dunk to bring Ben back. I mean, he took less money. I mean, it wasn't like, wow, they realize where he is right now. I mean, that's not
but
the secret.
Anybody who thinks that this team would be better off right now with Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins at quarterback, I don't believe
that either. The other thing is the style of quarterback that both of them are, they don't have much anticipation. You know, they're wait,
you got to see it and throw it, and you don't have time to see
and
it.
And they're not going to have the time to operate their style of play. You know, and it's not like they're runaround guys either. Right. You know, they're not going to elude this guy and then spin, and, you know, that's not what they're all about. You know?
And how many of the quarterbacks in the NFL right now would you say are above average athletes? I know that's what everybody wants. Hmm. You want the guy who can move around in the pocket and do those kind of things. I mean, maybe it's at 70%, but they're not all.
No, they're not all.
I mean, nobody's ever going to say that. Matt Ryan's not going anywhere.
No, he's not going
anywhere. Baker Mayfield's not an extreme athlete.
Yeah, I'm even thinking
Sam Darnold's not an extreme athlete.
No, I mean, I think Darnold's like a Burrow, which is kind of like a Rodgers, you know, or a Stafford, where
Stafford doesn't run anymore.
No, I would say in their heyday, 3rd and 8, they'll get 9 and slide and pop up.
You know,
no, Carr doesn't run at all either. I mean, all those guys beat Ben and Ryan in a race. But they're not creators with their feet or, quote, athletic quarterbacks. You know what I mean? To me, though, the conversation, and this is for the next guy, is there a baseline of athleticism you need to invest in the next guy?
Sure, that's a conversation.
You know what I mean? That's a totally different story.
But to put Rudolph or Haskins in the game because they're better athletes right now than Roethlisberger.
I don't think they're better athletes
than 70% of the quarterbacks in the league right now.
No, they're all in the bottom quarter. Everyone in that room is in the bottom quarter.
And not only that, they're not. They haven't seen what he's seen. They don't throw with anticipation. They don't do those things.
No, they're seeing and throw it guys from
the
Big 12 in Ohio State.
Yeah.
And, you know, right. Their style of quarterback, to me, would struggle more behind a bad line.
Oh, yeah.
Than, you know, it'd be different if you had a... Actually, Fields is that way too. From Ohio State, he's a bad example, but someone that did run around, you know, the early RG3s or Kyler Murray. I mean, Arizona's line was pretty bad when Kyler Murray took over too, but he would just run around and buy time. Again, this is a totally different story. When the shopping cart's empty and you're going shopping for a new quarterback, to me, he needs to be a Burrow or better. You know,
right.
I mean, not below that line. And Burrow's a pretty good athlete. You know, I mean, like, I'm sure he'd be a good hooper and all these other things, like Ben used to be.
Yeah.
You know, but now there definitely are quarterbacks that aren't great athletes succeeding in the league.
Tom Brady's a statue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Without question. Right.
One last thing he said here, he's talking about Najee Harris.
Mm-hmm.
I know people have been rough on Harris. You know,
this is Merrill again, or is this Canada?
This is still Merrill. And he's talking about how, you know, he said what he's seeing on tape from Najee Harris. Mm-hmm. He said, that guy is playing his absolute tail off. I've been in that position. To walk into the huddle and you have no idea if anybody is going to be blocked or if there's going to be movement at the point of attack, that's disheartening. That's hard to play like that.
Think yourself in that shoes.
Yeah.
You're the rookie going in this line and you're not going to call anybody out. You're not a Bama anymore.
Yeah, I mean, he said, if you look at the way the kid's blocked, it's been great.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you can see why they took him in the first round. You see his football character because he's out there, you know, giving his all.
Effort's not a problem. Work's not
right.
a problem. Right, 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 without question.
So, you know, I don't know. I mean, that was the pick to make, regardless.
Yeah, oh, I think so. Right, I stand by that.
We went over that earlier in the week. But they've got to figure out a way to get above the line play on the offensive line.
Yeah,
I don't care how they do it and who they do it with.
Above the line, that line, not necessarily the offensive line, it doesn't have to be great. It doesn't even have to be league average. It can't be one of the worst in the league, and it has to be more consistent. And
it's got to be closer to 20 than it is to 30.
Right. And now it is in the conversation as one of the worst.
Right.
I mean, the way they're performing. And to your point, too, it does shock me that they're not even moving bodies when they do things right as much as you would expect.
There have been some flashes.
Yeah.
I thought there were some flashes. You know, Harris had a 20-yard run last week. He had the 10-yard run that was called back. I liked the play design. You know, let's get him outside the box here and get him out on the edge and see what he can do. Things of that nature, but they just haven't done it consistently. You know, it goes back to what I talked about last week. You know, he was averaging 4.9 yards a carry on first down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that went down.
No, I wouldn't think so.
I mean, the 20-yard run came on first down last week. So there are some times where they're moving bodies. There are other times when they don't.
Right.
But, you know, I think to his point, you know, the fact that they're, okay, we're gonna go back to a man-blocking scheme here. We're going to make this easier.
I think that's a good step.
That's a good step to take.
Yeah.
You know, then
you can expand after that. Get down the basics, you know, play to their
figure out some things that you do well and do those.
Yeah. We talked about that yesterday. I think I brought up, you know, Lombardi and Knoll. Like, you know, let's get three or four plays that we're better at, you know, and we're going to dedicate our time to, even if we're predictable. We just need to get positive yardage from the running game.
Yeah.
Because it's a problem, obviously.
Absolutely. So, you know, we'll see how that comes to fruition, if it pays off at all against the Packers.
But those are good things for our listeners to look for, too. You know, like when you're watching these one-on-one battles, who's got the lower pads? I mean, on these double teams, are you seeing a linebacker behind the defensive tackle who's running free?
Most of the time, when a line double teams somebody, it's a quick double, and then the second guy, one of the two guys, will bump off and go get a linebacker or something of that nature.
I mean, the way I describe it is, you and I are center and guard, and I have a better angle to that defensive tackle, so I kind of hit him first and hand him to you.
Yeah.
It's not like we both punch this guy in the face at the same time. You know what I mean? and as I'm doing that, I'm moving my way up to the next level to go hit a moving target.
To go get
target.
The linebacker, because that's where you're going to get the big game.
That's where the real hole opens.
Yeah.
You know, as I pass. And that just frankly takes time. Like, hearing that doesn't surprise me one bit. I mean, offensive lineman, you would think that's kind of easy. It's not. You know, you're 3'10 trying to hit a linebacker who's 220 and runs a 4.5 and pass off this huge human being that knows the double team's coming to your buddy. You know, that stuff's hard. That's just a lot of reps.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see what kind of adjustments they make. I see signs that they're at least working in that direction. You know, we talked about it last week. Well, they need to start running the offense through Najee Harris. They did that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe too much.
Like, it would bother me if all of a sudden we go back to last year seeing all kinds of finesse runs and draws and we'll just, you know, be cute about it. That's not the approach they're taking. I mean, they're coming off the ball at least and trying to correct it with
They played the fullback 11 snaps last week.
I bet he sees the field this year, even if Johnson plays.
They don't need to play him
this week
40 snaps, but okay, run him, use him 11 snaps, and you know, see what you got there.
I wonder if and when Banner comes back, or when he comes back, do we see a sixth offensive lineman out there for five, six snaps too?
I don't know that Gentry's been the problem though in a lot of those situations.
No, he's actually doing pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, does he deserve more snaps? You know,
right.
I don't know.
And at whose expense do those come at?
That's the problem too.
That's the problem because again, you got to take somebody else off the field.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just interested to see what the offense looks like this week because now you've incorporated Harris into the passing game.
Right.
At a ridiculous level.
Right.
He had the most – that was the most targets for a running back in a game since 1950 outside of
– Kamara
did it once in
20 or something. Yeah.
And actually, Harris had 20 because the one got called back on the –
wow. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
He had tied a record.
I mean, it's a remarkable usage of a running back.
Yeah.
And too much, frankly.
Too much.
We all called for it, but – too much is a went a little overboard.
That became too. once you were out, you didn't have Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster.
Right.
They could just simply double Claypool and
we're going to attack this.
Dump it down to the Harris, and we're going to have five guys tackle him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
You know, it has to be more of a surprise factor.
But I think Harris too. I mean, to Merrill's he isn't to blame, but he's still a rookie too. I mean, he's still learning the speed of. When do I hit this hole and all these type of things, too? Like, I mean, the speed of the game is a big adjustment that you just don't get in the preseason. I know he played some snaps in the preseason. It's not the same.
It's not the same
not
at all.
Close.
No, I agree. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with segment two right after this.